Okay, gentlemen, we are. I mean, today's Amud is Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. We are on the last line of Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Hanana min achas, somebody got Hana from achas. So chule michti I bevehemat mima hainuchas shalzav. If we're talking about somebody getting Hana from achas, it's a behemat mima, it's an animal which is tom, which doesn't have a mum. Right, then it's the same thing as a kosher zav. You drop it, it might get damaged. Right, gold can be damaged, a behemoth can be damaged, but in the normal course of events, you do something with a behemoth and nothing happens to it. That's the point. Right, Amar Rav Papa said, "Bevelas mum askinum." We're talking about a behemoth, which is a bailas mum. It has a mum. Therefore. Why would that be significant that it has a bialas mum? The point is that if it's a chatas, right, and it's tamim, and therefore you can't be poder, even if it gets damaged in a tiny little way, which doesn't make a difference to mizbeach, that's not a real pgam. But once you're going to be doing a pidyon, if it's a chatz, which is a baal mum, then you do a baal mum, then you do a pidyon. If it's subject to pidyon, then every little pgam means it's worth a little bit less. Therefore, you're doing a little, you're actually doing damage to hekdesh. In such a case, right, you will, in fact, be chayev for meila only in the event that there is a pgam, as opposed to a chatz tamima, where you'd be chayev without a pgam, because the only way you can damage it is to actually cause a mum in it, something which is not that easy. Okay, Mishnah. Nene kevachatzi peruta upagam kachatzi peruta. He committed hanah, which is worth a chatzi peruta, and he did a gam, which is chatzi peruta. Neither of them was kashir. Is that meila? Oishe nene b'shavu peruta b'davar echad, upagam b'shavu peruta b'davar acher. Or alternatively, you did get hanah with shavu peruta in a case where you would have to have both gam and hanah. You only got hanah of shavu peruta from one object. You did damage worth at least a shavu peruta to a completely different object. It says loimal, there was no meila, ad sheyehne b'shavu peruta v'yipgam b'shavu peruta b'dam rechad, until both the meila, the hana, and the pgam were both a shavu peruta separately in the same object. Ein molach amral b'mukdashin, there you cannot commit meila after an offensive meila in mukdashin in hekdesh. Ella behema ochli sharis bilvad, except if we're talking about a behema, right, an animal which is hektish, or kli sharis, or something which belongs to kli, which belongs to the Beis Hamikdash, which is used for the purpose of karbanos. Kitzad how? What's the case? Rachav al gabi behema, you rode a behema, say you donated a bull to the Beis Hamikdash. Uvachav er rachav, and then somebody else came and rode on it. And the third person wrote on it, all of them committed me'ila. Shasa b'keshel zav, v'achavera shasa. Somebody drank from under the keel in the base of Mikdash. And another person did. They all committed me'ila. Kula malu. Talash minachatas. V'achavera v'talash, v'achavera salash. Somebody uprooted some hair from the chatas. Some wool's probably more likely, and then somebody else did. Kulamal, they all did. Primitive Meila, Rabbi Omer, right? Rabbi Yudan Nasi said, "Kol davar she'ein lo pidyon yesh b'molach hamara." Any case that there isn't going to be a real pidyon, right? Then there will be Meila after Meila, meaning if it has kedushas aguf, not kedushas damim. Remember, we discussed the difference between kedushas aguf and kedushas damim, right? Kedushas haguf. Right, it means it has inherent kedusha. The object is inherently holy. It is going to be brought in the mizbeach, and therefore it is not subject to meila. And this is not actually means not subject to pidyon. Right, kedushas damim means the object itself is not kadosh. Its monetary value is kadosh in terms of its monetary value. It belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. In such a case, it is subject to meila and to pidyon. Right, in such a case, it is subject to pidyon. Rebbe says as long as it's subject, it's similar to what we discussed before with the chatzas. As long as it's subject to pidyon. Right, then you can only do me'ila once. You've done me'ila, it's no longer kadosh. And so, automatically, you cannot do mi'il again, because it is no longer kodesh, right? The offense was, in that sense, successful, halachically. If it has kedushas aguf and is not subject to pidyon, then committing me'ila on it will not actually take it outside the realm of kedusha, right? It has kedushas aguf, the kedusha is inherent, it defines the object, and therefore neither pidyon nor me'ila can make it not kadosh. In such a case, of course, you can have me'ila again. Gemara. Mani Misnissen. Who wrote this Mishnah? Rabbi Nechemiah, it must be Rabbi Nechemiah, the sign of the Mishnah says, a mo'al achar mo'al behem v'vlah. Right? Because the Bryce says that there's no me'ila, there's no secondary me'ila, there's no me'ila after a me'ila has been committed, except in a behema. V'Rabbi Nechemiah, I'm a behema uchli shareis. Rabbi Nechemiah says it's both either a behema or an implement used in the Beis HaMikdash for korbanos. My time in the Tanakama, what's the reason for the Tanakama? Kasavar ben yon and the behema k'siv dichsiv be'el ha'asham. Right? He... the point is as follows, right? The pasuk says, "Ve'es asher chata min hakodesh," right? The kohen will give him kapara for his transgression, and because he was chata min kodesh, he sinned against the things that sanctified. Yeshalim, he will then pay. Ve'es chashmis chamish soy yosef alav, he will add a quarter, which is a fifth of the total. Ve'nasan oisay la kohen, and he'll give it to the kohen. Ve'akohen yechaper alav be'el ha'asham, and he's like, and the kohen will be mechaper for him. Be'el ha'asham really is talking about the ale which you bring as an asham is in the asham ilos. The kohen will be mechaper for him using the asham ilos. Ve'nisalachon, he'll be forgiven. The drash is, he says, akon yechaper alav be'el ha'asham. Why do we need to say that? The whole context here is discussing the fact that you bring a korban asham for me'ila. So why does it say, and the kohen will atone for him with the el asham? Means that if he did me'ila using an ayil, using a behema, it remains an asham. Right? It doesn't lose its kedusha, and therefore you can commit me'ila with it again. But that only is, that xeris akasav only applies with regard to animals, not with regard to kelim. Therefore, it makes sense that only animals will retain their kedusha post mi'ila, will retain their status, and therefore it means that only animals you can do mi'ila again. Rabbi Nechemiah said, "Kal v'chomer, it's a kal v'chomer. Im acherim mevi likdusha son, what's my lekol shekain?" Rabbi Nechemiah says, "Wait, a kli shareis can bestow kedusha zaguf on wine, on water, on ktores." On Menachos. So Kol Shekein, if it can bring other things to Kedusha, Kal V'Chomer, it's not going to necessarily lose its Kedusha just because you committed Me'ila. In other words, we're talking about a higher level of Kedusha. Kli Shareis is Kodesh Kodoshim, right? It's like the Mizbeach itself. Obviously, committing Me'ila on it does not take away its status if it doesn't, even with Korbanos, where Korbanos don't give anything else Kedusha, and Korbanos are subject to losing Kedusha. Tov, it should be noted, in terms of the Machlokes between Rabbi Nechemiah and Tanakama, that I think the distinction, the Machlokes is very clear. If you think that only an ayul, only in a behema, never loses its status, that's because me'ila is real, that's because the case where something really maintains its status is a korban, right? Me'ila can't affect a korban. Right? If you think that it even includes klei sharis, like I said, it really is anything which has kedushas haguf. The reason to distinguish between kedushas haguf and korban is because the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, their kedusha, you would think, is essentially teleological. It's not that they are defined as kadosh objects, they have a status of kadosh, that's it, gamarno, there's no discussion. It's easy to conceptualize them as being kadosh because of the purpose that they serve. Therefore, if they stop serving that purpose, by virtue of the fact that they now serve a different purpose, they lose their kedusha. As opposed to these animals are not subject to that transition, right? The animals, deva, daos, are designated. They are defined by the fact that they are a certain type of korban. Rabbi Nechemiah will disagree. Rabbi Nechemiah will say that really the kelim are also defined by their purpose, and therefore you cannot simply take them away from that. They seem to be arguing about the existence of an in-between category, something which is not subject to pidyon. But even so, Me'ila removes its kedusha against what Rebbe said, right? I mean, Nechemi will agree with Rebbe, and Tanakama will have this in-between position. On the one hand, you can't opinion, it doesn't have kedushas damim, but if you do Me'ila, it loses its kedusha. Okay. I would assume. Okay, Tov. The Tosfos here mentioned there is an exception to this rule. There is a case where if you commit moel, where if you are a moel, even in something which only has kedusha stamim, you will not lose kedusha. The case is when the gizbarim do it. Right? When the gizbarim commit meila, then at least some time it will not lose kedusha. Why? Because the Gizborim, they might be using the object right now for their own personal benefit, which is an Issa D'oraisa for them as well. But they are doing it as a person who represents the Beis HaMikdash. Since they're doing it as a person that represents the Beis HaMikdash, they don't then break the sort of the connection between the object and the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it doesn't lose its kedusha, and in fact maybe there will be Me'ila after Me'ila. It should be noted that also the point that I said that Tanakama seems to be creating here an in-between category where it's not subject to pidyon. Tosfos says no. According to Rabbeinu Peretz, it's fact just Klei Sharis and the Beis Hamikdash have kedushas damim and not kedushas agof. According to this opinion, it should also be noted that it's very difficult to teach a mikra. The pasuk does refer to them as kodesh kadoshim. Okay, fine. They also assume that Rabbi Nechemia thinks that the Kli Sharis is in fact subject to pidyon, right? You can commit pidyon on Kli Sharis, even though it has kedushas guf. You can perform a pidyon with it, as opposed to with kodshim where you really can't. Not only is it also you can't with a Kli Sharis, it's mutter and you can, but until such time as you do, its kedusha is a little bit different. So it's an in-between. Rabbi Nechemia was the one who created the in-between, and in the opposite direction, even though it's subject to pidyon, Me'ila does not remove its kedusha. And the reason why is because I suppose the Kli Sharis is sort of mekadesh itself instantly when you are mechalel during itself instantly when you are mechalel during using in the course of committing the iser of Me'ila. Okay, fine. Let's continue. Gemara. Rebbe Omer kol davar sheyesh ein lo pidyon v'chulei v'chulei. Kainu Tanakama. The Gemara says, but wait, Rebbe. The Mishnah sounds like Rebbe's disagreeing with Tanakama in the Mishnah. The problem is he seems to articulate exactly the same rule, right? Both Tanakama and Rebbe seem to say that if it's subject to pidyon, it'll have meila, and if it's not subject to pidyon, it won't have meila after a first meila, and if it isn't subject to pidyon, and it will have a secondary meila. Rava said, Ika ben ayu eitzim, the distinction between them is really eitzim, meaning a korban eitzim. If you commit to bringing eitzim on the mizbeach, that'll actually be a machlekes. Why? The son of Banna's price said, Ha'omer ha'riyala eitzim li'ichas mishnei gzirim. Somebody who commits to bringing eitzim to the Beis HaMikdash to burn on the mizbeach, who commits to bringing wood to the Beis HaMikdash to burn on the mizbeach, should not bring less than the two pieces of wood that were put on the mizbeach, if you remember, with the Tamid Shashach. Excuse me, I'm sorry. He should not bring less than the two pieces of wood which were brought with the Tamid Shashach. Rebbe Omer, Eitzim Korban Hain. Rebbe says, not only is that true, but the Eitzim wood brought on the mizbeach is a Korban. Right? Uteonim Melach. Right? And they require milk, they require salt. Right, a kol korban chakotakrim melach. We have to bring salt with every single korban. So too, etzim. Etzim, when they are burnt on his mizbeach, have to be salted. Uta'unin tenufa, and they need to be waved in six directions, right, north, south, north, south, east, and west, and up and down, just like a korban would have to, right, because they are in fact a korban lechol davar ve'inyan. The implication is that Rebbe thinks that everything that eats him have kedushas haguf. They're a real korban. If they have kedushas haguf, then they will be subject to me'ila achar me'ila, to secondary me'ila, right? Because they have kedushas haguf, as opposed to the Tanakama, who does not acknowledge this point that eitzim are a korban, in which case only a behema and a kli shoreis will have moel achar moel. Amar Rava, Rava said, "Divrei Rebbe eitzim tumanin eitzim." According to Rebbe, there's a problem, right? Right, the eitzim, the korban eitzim, which you bring, needs to have other wood brought to burn it, because the korban isn't meant to be the thing that starts the fire on the mizbeach; it's meant to be added to the fire, to the flame on the mizbeach. Right, therefore, Rebbe must hold that there is wood which is brought to the Beis Hamikdash, which is not subject to, which is, you know, not subject to me'ila achar me'ila, which doesn't have secondary me'ila, right, which doesn't require salt, which doesn't require snufa, right? And that's the eitzim which are on the mizbeach permanently, and then you want to add some wood, okay, that's a korban, right? V'amar Rav Papa, and Rav Papa said, the divrei Rebbe eitzim srichin k'mitza. According to Rebbe, it sounds like you need to do a k'mitza, right? If you remember this action, right, you need to do with eitzim, with wood, because we're comparing it to a mincha. We're saying the pasuk al korkav and kaka takriv melech applies to eitzim. Therefore, just like a mincha, they will require k'mitza. Rav Papa Amar Kodshim Yizbeach Tmimin V'Nas Bali Mumin V'Avar Shachtan Ike Binayu. Rav Papa said there might be something else. There might be another distinction between them. Kodshim Yizbeach, Kodshim, which were brought on the Yizbeach, sorry about that, my son just joined us. Rav Papa said that according to Rebbe, there may be a different afkmina between Rebbe and Chachamim, right? Kodshim Mizbeach Tmim, if you have Kodshim Mizbeach, so a korban and behema that was meant to be brought in Mizbeach, which was not a balismum, was Tamim, could be brought, Vinas Balimum, and then it became a Balimum, it developed a mum, some sort of blemish which would prevent you from bringing on the Mizbeach, Ve'ovar Veshachatan, and you transgressed the prohibition and shechted it anyway. That case it will be a distinction between them. Kodesh Mizbeach Tmimin V'Nasa Balei Mumin V'Avar Shachatan Rebbe Omer Yikavru Chachamim Yipadu. Right, because Rebbe says that in such a case, you can't. On the one hand, you can't throw the blood on the mizbeach, you can't burn them on the mizbeach because they're not a valid korban. On the other hand, they have some level of kedushas haguf. Right, so Rebbe says you have to bury them. Implies that they didn't lose their kedusha at all. But since they didn't lose their kedusha at all, in such a case they have full kedusha zaguf, they would be subject to secondary mila, to mi'ila achar mi'ila, because they don't have pidyon. The chamim yupadu, chamim say that they are subject to pidyon, but since they are subject to pidyon, since they don't require pidyon, they are since they do require pidyon, they are subject to a semila. It is important to know what exactly this machlokes is about. The machlokes here is about whether a behema which is a bal mum, a behema which developed a blemish, if it requires what's called ha'amada v'ha'aracha. But when it comes to pidyon, the pasuk says you should stand up the behemoth in front of the Kohen, and the Kohen will be marich. The Kohen will be marich, will assess the value of the behemoth, and that's how much you have to pay to be poda to redeem it. Right? Do these animals require what's called ha'amoda and ha'aracha? If they do, then once it's dead, it is not, you're not going to be able to perform ha'amoda and ha'aracha, you can't stand it up. Since you can't stand it up, you can't perform the ha'aracha. Since you can't do that, you can't do a pigeon, and since you're going to can't see a pigeon, you have to bury it. Right? Right? But Zdusha makes it not subject to pigeon, and therefore also not subject to me'ilah. Right? Chachamim say yipadu. Right? No, because you don't, these behemoths don't actually need ha'amoda and ha'aracha. We can have a less formal process to decide how much money needs to be paid for them to redeem them from the property of the Beis HaMikdash. This, by the way, it should be noted, this Gemara is obviously a raya for, we said in Tosfos, that there is in fact a sort of organic link between the possibility, at least according to Tanakhama, between the possibility of performing a pigeon and there being secondary me'ila, or there not being secondary me'ila. And if you can perform pigeon, then there won't be secondary me'ila, because it will leave, that's the other way in which a behemoth can leave Kodesh, if you can't perform pidyon, just practically, not for reasons of a high level kedusha, just practically there can be no pidyon, then automatically there is also going to be secondary me'ila, because me'ila cannot extract it from kodesh. If pidyon can't extract it from kodesh, then nothing else can either. It seems to be the idea. Okay, fine. Shkoyach, gentlemen, we will continue on Mitzvah Shabbos.